Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Burke Allen Show. No subject is off limits as Burke talks with entertainers, authors, speakers, and everyday Americans about the subjects that matter to you. Be a part of the program now by calling 718-506-1944. 718-506-1944. Or instant message your messages direct to our studio. Now, from his top secret broadcast bunker in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., award-winning broadcaster, Burke Allen.
It's Friday as we head into the Labor Day weekend, broadcasting live here in our nation's capital. I'm Burke Allen, and thanks for listening. If you'd like to be a part of the program, we would love to hear from you today. We have a story that you might think would be a real downer. A tough story, but Meg Wade is our guest. She injects an awful lot of humor into what was a pretty messy situation. The book is Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, but here's the subtitle, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, the Mafia, and Other Totally True Tales. Meg, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Burke. Thanks for having me.
Now, we should let our listeners know that you are actually going above and beyond the call of duty. You are somewhere in the greater Virginia Beach area where today you were getting smacked around pretty good by Hurricane Earl.
You are right. Earl hasn't been as bad as we thought, but I'm only about an hour north of Nag's Head.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know, and all the TV stations and everybody was broadcasting from Nag's Head last night. Now, we were kind of pleasantly surprised that it hasn't been as bad. But I have had the house that I lived in with my husband, who's passed away. He passed away with drug problems. Anyway, it was almost ruined by Hurricane Isabel years ago. So, yeah, we take hurricanes very seriously around here.
Well, you know, you can survive just about anything, including a hurricane, based on what I have read about you. And let's talk about how all this got started with you. You know, you're not the typical girl from the projects who got involved with a bad crowd. You took a whole different direction, but boy, you had it rough with crack cocaine and, of course, your husband's drug and alcohol addiction, and you mentioned that he eventually passed from all this. How did it all begin for you?
Well, being a baby boomer, as the title of my book says, I had been around people smoking marijuana in the 60s and 70s at parties, and it didn't seem that foreign to me, and or cocaine and things like that. It wasn't something that I ever did on a regular basis. I was a basically happy-go-lucky, life's great kind of gal. The glass is definitely half full. I had been married about 17 years, and I was 45 years old. And my husband, who had had drug problems back when he was 17, basically said to me, hey, Meg, here, why don't you try smoking this? I think you'll like it. This is the big point. People, I grew up a baby boomer. I know a lot of you people out there did, too. It sounds innocuous. It sounds innocent. It sounds like, oh, yeah, no big deal. Been there, done that. You know, I took one smoke. Okay, this is silly. This is naive. This is gullible. But I really did not know what I was smoking, Burke.
Yeah.
He said, hey, Meg, here, smoke this. I go, okay. I was trusting this is someone I've known my whole life, I've been married to for 17 years, even though I knew I knew it was some kind of drug, but I really didn't realize that. I had never had a problem with anything, alcohol, cigarettes, anything, through all my years. So I did, and the next thing I knew, 9 months go by, and I am totally, totally hooked. That one little smoke, I do, God rest his soul, as I said, my husband has passed on. I do kind of resent the loss of my drug innocence, you know. I learned a lot, you know. But I'm a middle-class, upper-middle-class white lady who lived in a house on the Intracoastal Waterway where the yachts went by, you know. I mean, we ended up losing the house, everything we ever owned. And I had lived in Japan and had some really cool Asian antiques, and some furniture from my grandmother that was very sentimental to me. But, you know, it really is only things. And then we lost a portfolio of about I guess I'd say about $500,000.
Wow.
And this is before everyone else lost their money. So it's kind of, so I mean, I have my future fairly secure, in my little mind, you know, be careful what happens to you. Life is what happens while you're making other plans. But even all of these things happened, I became addicted to crack cocaine, which to me is still just phenomenal to even hear me say those words. I'd never bought any myself. My husband would always do that. But I knew that he had people that he talked to where he bought things from. And that's another thing that people need to know. There is a big discrepancy in crack cocaine versus powder cocaine, ending up in jail. If one has crack cocaine, one ends up in jail a lot quicker and longer than if one just has powder cocaine. And they're basically the same thing. You just add something to the basic cocaine. So anyway, I unfortunately have learned a lot of things. Since then, I went to rehab, got off the drugs, basically left my house on the water where the yachts go by and moved in with my parents. Anybody who's ever been through Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous knows it's people, places, and things, Burke. That's what you got to get away from. You've got to get away. Got to get away. So I left everything. Everything. Then later on I was sued for desertion and divorce, and I said, I'm sorry. I left to save my life, you know. I left, you know. I thought he might have even been selling out of the house. I really don't even know what was going on. It was bad. It was really bad. And my husband had been a military professional and was a United States government worker, a GS-12.
I mean, is that right?
Yeah. I'm not talking. Yeah, with double top secret security clearance, and things that I learned later. I'm like, oh my gosh. This can hit anybody. We tried to send him, it's kind of like Michael Jackson, Burke. You know, we don't really know how he died. If we really tried to look up his death certificate today, would it tell us how he died? Maybe not. Have we charged the doctor yet? I don't know. So it's really kind of crazy. But I do believe that Ned passed away from heroin overdose.
And this was how long ago?
A year and a half. It really hasn't been that long. I myself, I actually started, the first time I smoked crack cocaine was in October of 2005. And the last time I smoked it was July 7th, 2006. And that's the day that I left. You know, a lot of people, I just saw something on the TV about AA and they were saying, oh, you're really not an alcoholic, because every person, every addict knows the exact day when they have stopped. It is just absolutely incredible how physiologically and psychologically cocaine addiction is. It's almost, you know, if you go on cocaine.org and check things out, it's almost impossible not to become any human being or any animal to become addicted. So.
And this happened for you then in less than a year. It all went to hell.
This is my I felt like I was immediately addicted from the first toke. I didn't even smoke. I'm a Southern girl from southwestern Virginia, Martinsville, Virginia, via Boone, North Carolina. And I'd always had kind of an adventurous spirit. I grew up in Martinsville, lived in Boone. Then, like every other good Southern girl does, I dropped out of college because money was tight, and I moved to the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. Where I still didn't know anything about drugs. Looking back on it now 20 years later, I'm laughing at all the friends that I knew that had like little silver amulets around their necks that I now know was filled with cocaine. I didn't know that. I didn't understand. It's hysterical, you know, looking back, you know, that I was in the middle of all this drug culture and I really didn't know much about it until I was 45 and kind of got introduced to it. I did not know that my husband was using at the time. In retrospect, it had been going on for at least a year, maybe a couple of years before that. It's really, really, it's wild. It's sad. I'm a widow, and he was an active duty military professional, so I'm able to keep my military TRICARE, thank God, because you know how healthcare is in America right now.
Does that seem odd to you to say those words? I am a widow.
Yes, I'm 49 years old. I will be 50 in October 21st. So yeah, it seems very, very weird. And for, you know, I mean, I'm an upstanding, easygoing, nice kind of Southern lady. And yeah, the fact that I would actually get involved in something, I mean, horrifies me. I am annoyingly cheerful. Annoyingly, I say some people, you know, the perkiness pushes them over the edge, you know. No, I mean, you know, they're getting ready to auction off my house, everything I ever owned, and I'm still this chatty Cathy going, okay, well, you know, okay, this stinks, but, you know, this is kind of good because, you know, the rest of the world is losing their money to the stock market. My husband partied it away. So it's just, to me, it's not what happens to you. It's how you look at it. It's how you react to it.
Meg Wade is our guest. The book is Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, The Mafia, and Other Totally True Tales. We haven't even talked about the mafia. It's bad enough already. Now you're involved with these guys. What's that all about?
Okay. I'm young. I'm naive. I met this guy. He was Italian who did theater with me in Atlanta. And to preserve the innocent, okay, mainly moi, I have another name for this person. But anyway, my friend's name was Alberto Romano, and his grandfather was known as the, he told me his grandfather was the Don of Buffalo. I said, oh, you mean his first name is Donald? Because this is before the Godfather movies. This is before the internet. This is before a lot of this stuff. And I didn't really understand, you know, being from Martinsville via Boone, what being a Don of somewhere meant. Well, needless to say, I have since found out. My friend's grandfather was known as the grandfather of La Cosa Nostra, and was in power in upstate New York and Buffalo for over 52 years.
Oh, my.
And this was the same guy that when Marlon Brando was in the Godfather movies and that talked with a little bit, you know, sounded like he has marbles in his mouth, that's the character that this was based on. No, small-town potatoes person. So anyway, totally, naively, innocently, again, you know, gosh, I'm either terribly trusting or terribly stupid or all at the same time. But anyway, yeah, I met this guy and we started – we did theater together and we started hanging out, and unbeknownst to me, you know, his family kept tabs on where he was and what he was doing and kept tabs on me. And then I'm only like in my early 20s at the time, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't think I want to be a mafia princess. Well, his family had a business, and this is what they did for a living. They were a funeral parlor.
Unbelievable.
It was a funeral parlor. And what they did is my mom from Martinsville mentioned to somebody who was from the Buffalo, New York area, the name, the real name. And my friend, you know, told my mother, oh, my gosh, don't you know they double double-decker the bodies. You know, your Aunt Helen will be on top and then parts of Luigi and Mario will be underneath.
Yes.
So I'm like, yes. And so here I am, this young girl, and this friend, his grandfather has since died, and you know how those familias kind of go on, and there's different sorts, different people take over.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, the name is quite well known in the Niagara Falls, New York area. So yet another situation where my naivete and open-mindedness, but, you know, you just manage to prevail. You go, ooh, maybe this wasn't a great idea. I think I need to just kind of extradite myself from this situation.
Good Lord, woman, you've got to slow down.
I know, and I'm not, yeah, I know, that's what I've told many friends. I said, oh, my gosh, it is a miracle. I am still here and alive, you know, I just... Trusting.
It sounds like an incredible page-turner. It's the true story of Meg Wade. It's like Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, The Mafia, and Other Totally True Tales. If our listeners want to pick the book up, where can they find it?
They can go to www.megwade.com. That's M-E-G-W-A-D-E. And also, if they wanted to Google me at Meg Henderson Wade, they'll find out a lot of the good things that I do now. I'm an anti-drug motivational speaker with a humorous twist. I speak to schools. I even speak to police departments, Burke, on how to kind of enlighten them on the middle class cocaine scene and what to look for, and it's not just in the bad parts of town. So I do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of I even won the Virginia Beach Citizens of the Year of the Award last year for all my volunteer work with the anti-drug movement. So I'm trying to definitely make a good thing out of some bad situations.
It sounds like you're on your way. Meg Wade is our guest today. Pick up the book and find out more at megwade.com. I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.